Today we look to our Lord, directing our hearts and minds with closer attention to these two verses of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, and 5, verse 7. Paul writes, "We do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We walk by faith, not by sight." We start with something that we can see in church from time to time. I'm talking about the baptism of a child. During the service, the parents bring their newborn up to the baptismal font. At this point, prior to the baptism, like all other humans born into the world, this child is in bad shape spiritually, dead in sin, as the Bible says, an unbeliever, not yet a member of God's family. In fact, if nothing changes, that child would grow up to only be involved with more enmity against God, constant state of rebellion. But then, in the service, the water is applied, the Word of God is used, and incredible changes happen. The Holy Spirit enters the heart, causing him or her to believe in Christ and receive the forgiveness of sins. That child is now born again, and God's child too, putting this tiny person on track to inherit eternal life. Well, from the human visual vantage point, nothing seems all that different. We don't see the Holy Spirit's arrival in some visual way. The child doesn't say anything to indicate that he believes. The baby looks more or less the same before and after. Well, as the text makes clear, appearances don't show you the whole story. We can't always go by what our eyes are telling us, but rather and always by what the Lord reveals to us in his word. In comparison, consider one more infant, the only one who did not need baptism for the forgiveness of sins. When the shepherds ran that night to Bethlehem, were they looking for something spectacular? A newborn with a glowing face or a halo over the head? No, quite the opposite. And based only on God's say-so through the angels, they searched, probably not that many buildings, for a newborn wrapped in strips of cloth placed in an animal feed trough. Well, from the human visual vantage point, the odds that this lowly child was also the Almighty Son of God would probably seem incredibly low. Well, here too, as with many things spiritual in nature, heavenly in origin, and eternal, the unseen reality does not match the outward appearance. Perhaps one of the greatest examples of that would be the death of a Christian, especially if the person is somewhat young. To many, the human viewpoint of that kind of thing would be, that's so sad. It seems very tragic when a young person is cut down in the prime of life. And certainly to the loved ones of that person and their fellow believers, there is a real sense of loss. They don't have this person around anymore. But when the death in question involves the death of a believer in Christ, there is that unseen reality that God has gained this person forever. And the person has gained eternal life as the prize, the victory. In this instance, then, we have the unseen reality as the basis of our hope, confidence, and comfort. We go by not what our eyes tell us, but rather what God reveals in his word. So many aspects of your spiritual life are going to be like that. When you take the Lord's Supper in church, consuming the bread and wine offered, you take the Lord's word for it that you're also getting the body and blood of Christ shed for you for the remission of sins. As for your forgiveness, that too is something that does not unfold right before our eyes. We don't get to hear in person from Jesus like the man lowered through the roof when he said, "Be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven." And yet, you get to hear that from him in the proclamation of the gospel and in the sacrament too. This pattern, where the unseen reality does not match the outward appearance, holds true in the very foundation of the gospel itself, the pivotal death of Christ. Let's picture it. All of us there at the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. The image that we see is rather disturbing. A broken, beaten man suffering so horribly. The physical agony is obvious. And to some people, it seems weak and helpless. And so they dare say it out loud. If he was the Son of God, he should come down from the cross. Meanwhile, other people see it quite differently. And they're thinking, oh, this is wrong. This shouldn't happen to Jesus. What no one sees that day is God the Father placing the sins of the whole human race onto Christ. What no one could rightly detect, even though Jesus said it out loud, was God the Father forsaking his Son as the agony of hell, as the anger poured out, as the punishment for all of our guilt. Nor could anyone see the Father satisfied with the payment that Christ has made in our behalf, in our place. We can only thank God that the unseen reality of the gospel does not escape us. We thank God that the fact of our salvation we do see by faith, secured by Christ crucified, and also the victory of our own eternal life, secured by Christ risen. We thank God that he causes us to walk by faith, not by sight. In our Savior's name, amen. We close with hymn 370, the first three stanzas, stanzas 1, 2, and 3 of hymn 370.